Translation proper by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. O Queen of the home, we are not able to act like you, nor could we repay you for what you have done. Even if we worked for our entire life or even after death, to repay you is not possible even for those who are admirers of personal qualities. I better not ask everyone to repeat. Not everyone is a grasta here. Purport. So such glorification of a woman by her husband indicates that he is henpecked or talking lightly in joke. Kashyapa meant that householders living with wives enjoy the heavenly blessings of sense enjoyment and at the same time have no fear of going down to hell. The man in the renounced order of life has no wife and may be driven by sex desires to seek another woman or another's wife and thus go to hell. In other words, the so-called man of the renounced order who has left his house and wife goes to hell if he again desires sexual pleasure, knowingly or unknowingly. In that way, the householders are on the side of safety. Therefore, husbands as a class cannot repay their debt to women either in this life or in the next. Even if they engage themselves repaying the women throughout their whole lives, it is still not possible. Not all husbands are as able to appreciate the good qualities of their wives. But even though one is able to appreciate these qualities, it is still not possible to repay the debt to the wife. Such extraordinary praises by a husband for his wife are certainly in the mode of joking. Hare Krishna. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahaganaragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Gapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dina Tarinam Paramananda Maham Shri Chaitanyesha. Hare Krishna, thank you so much, devotees, for being here today. Blessings of His Holiness Keshav Swami Maharaj. Very fortunate to have you here, Maharaj. In spite of all your busy schedule, I'm sure millions want to hear you right now, and you're here. to encourage us. Really grateful. Thank you so much. And seek blessings of all the Vaishnavis, all the devotees hearing online. I have no qualification to speak here. No understanding, no realization. It's just the service instructions. So please bear with me. The topic is very interesting, very special, very pertinent to Grihasthas. But Prabhupada brings in some aspects of the renounced order as well in here. So we're going to try and speak some understanding. It's very interesting how Prabhupada is putting the purport, like sometimes he's going up like this way and the other life. Where do you find the mood? Particularly the last sentence, it says, such extraordinary praises by husband for his wife are certainly in the mood of joking. I see that two ways actually. One is certainly it's a joke that wife need to be appreciated. The other aspect that I see is actually it is a joke. The husband with such male ego can never appreciate the wives. This is the other aspect I was thinking. I'm sure that's what applies to most of us. We're not able to appreciate what we get. Yeah. Okay, so this is about husband and wife, wife being appreciated, wife has approached. So there's a conversation between Yudhishthira and Yaksha in the one Parva Mahabharata. There's a lot at stake there. Yudhishthira Maharaj being questioned. There are some other questions also we discuss most often. But one question that was interesting is Yudhishthira Maharaj is asked, who is the friend of a householder? And the answer from Yudhishthira Maharaj is that a householder's friend is his wife, Mita. Mitra. Say Mita Trayate Iti Mitra. So one who helps the husband to face a difficult situation, difficult times, he is or she is the best friend. And we've seen that how Draupadi, you know, accompanied the Pandavas. So very austere, very hard. Similarly, you know, Mother Sita accompanied Lord Ram. It was not easy. So this is very elevated talk here. And one of the ashramas, four ashram, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. The Grihastha ashram is the ashram that's supposed to maintain all the other ashrams because the Grihastha need to go out, make some Lakshmi and donate to a temple, maintain a temple so that the preaching mission, the movement can carry on. So what's happening in this chapter so far? Vidur is not satisfied. So in the previous chapter we discussed about Shweta Varadev's pastime. And Vidur wanted to still hear more because there is more to it, because the nature of devotees want to know more and more, dig more, you know, more details. So he makes a plea to his teacher, Maitreya, please tell me more, you know, because I've heard that there was another incarnation with Varahadev, and that incarnation he killed Hiranyaksha. Please tell me more about that. That's for Shweta Varahadev. Yeah? And he says the word that I am Param Kaut. He says Param Kautulaham. Param, he's super excited. He wants to know more, like intense desire to know more in full details. And he also says his qualification is Shraddhanaya Bhaktaya. So it's interesting that the devotees, in the previous, right from the first canto, first chapter, we say that the sages of Naimisharana also present that way, that we are qualified, we want to hear. And we have the Shraddha. The Shraddha is the most important aspect for teachers or the speaker to get interested to speak, because unless there's faith, there's no point of that conversation. So he is with all his qualifications, he's still putting that in, reminding them, I have the Shraddha and I'm a devotee of the Lord. I'm inquisitive. So Lord says in Bhagavad Gita also, Ashraddha Nashaya, Ashraddha Dhana Purusha Dharma Shasya Parantapa, Aprape Mam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vartamani. So without the Shraddha in this religion, in the devotional practice, O Parantapa, Aprape Mam Nivartante, without receiving me or my abode, one will return to Mrityu Samsara Vartamani, return again to the Mrityu Samsara, the place of death. So Maitreya glorifies him with that and says, you've absolutely asked such a wonderful question. The topic of incarnation of the Lord is the source of liberation for all those destined to death and the cycle of birth and death. So hearing the incarnation, the topics of the incarnation of the Lord liberates one from this cycle of material birth and death. So that's such qualification. And about the characters here, we got Diti and Kashyapa. Diti is daughter of Daksha, and this is happening Chakshusha Manvantara. The previous incarnation was in the Swayambhu Manvantara. This is Chakshusha. And at that time, Daksha is born, he had to take a rebirth, because we remember that there was a pastime with Lord Shiva where, he had to give up his body. Previously, he was given a head of a goat and then he gave up his body. And Daksha had 13 daughters, maybe more, I can't remember. So, but he gave 13 daughters to Kashyapa Rishi. And Diti was now making a presentation to her husband that she gives a few reasons. She is now, afflicted by lust. But the lust is not just lust. She desirous of a child, which is bona fide. So four regulated principles. Yeah, the fourth illegitimate sex is illegitimate is where it's not for the birth of a child. So she's in that way, otherwise legitimate. So she gives a few reasons, which is interesting to see why. Because this is the thing, we make a presentation, make a request to someone, we have to say, justify why do we, ask for what we're asking for. So this is the culture. So she makes a presentation, he says, well, that's a few things we can't. She's seeing that presence of her husband, presence of her husband means, she has a, valid desire. And husband's duty is to be kind to her because she's dependent on her husband. And she's legitimate. All her co-wives already have a child or more. She does not have a child, so she's feeling deprived. She does not have the opulence that other mothers have. Mother's most, cherished opulence is the child, because mothers look after the child so much. So much the attachment is to the child and nourishment for the child. And this will also, because Kashyapa, remember Kashyapa is the Prajapati, the job profile of a Prajapati is to procreate. Every Manvantara you have Prajapatis coming up, they need to procreate. For the souls to come, take birth, and human body is particularly, facilitating the opportunity to hear Krishna Katha, to get out of this cycle. So it's very important service that Kashyapa could do if he could procreate more children. And all the daughters were not just been picked up randomly. They all chose Kashyapa as their husband, so, and they've been faithful. So she's making all these different arguments. And the aspect about this, this is the modern time. I don't know how much of you are aware, but I know quite a few of my own relatives, young people, they marry very late. So we have the Prabhupada has given 25 years of brahmachari, 25 years of grahastha, then vanaprastha and sannyas. But today's time, at least I know so many of my young nephews, nieces, first of all, don't want to marry. And if they marry, don't want to have children. Why? Where is the time? There is no time. The life is so busy. If you have to go to work, go to city, make some Lakshmi, pay the bills, mortgage. And then it's a lot of responsibility. So that's where the problem lies, because city life means just, working like Shudras. It's interesting that in the past, of the four ashramas, four varnas, it was only the Shudras who were dependent on others, right? So Brahmanas would not, they would be given charity by the other Varna because they're giving something, they're giving education. Kshatriya would not beg around, and Vaishya surely would not beg around, and they know how to earn the money. So it was only the Shudras. So now today we see the majority of the population is just ended up with Shudras coming to the city because There is no other way to live. People have forgotten farming, forgotten the taking care of cows in the past. And I remember my own grandfather, and I may probably speak so many times the same thing, with so much. Like, he had 9 children, 11 acres of land, 2 cows, 2 goats, and he raised all his children, worked alone. He was the only child of his father. And no problem. Even then, at 5 p.m., they would all get together in the village temple and they would have kirtan every night, 2 hours, 3 hours. This was the time in the village. And he lived 96. No problem. Flat stomach. No belly. No gym, nothing. So this was the life, you know, life of the city life. Now there's no time for anyone to have any family. So how will it work? How will the whole problem of, Arjuna was raising to Krishna, like, what will happen? There will be Varnashankara, there won't be any Shraddh, you know, Pindodaka, nothing will happen. How will the future take place? There is no, because the duty of a father actually serves his pitris, like his previous generation, by producing a son. Because son can only do the Shraddha of the 3 generation or 7 generation it used to be. So that they can get the Pindodaka, they can get, you know, liberated. But if that doesn't happen, today's time, what to speak now? We can see all these things happening. So it was quite an important aspect that, you know, Kashyapa is being requested to have more child. And the plea, and the last thing she says, anyone who is in distress, their plea should never go in vain. So this is almost like I'm talking of the first chapter, Arjuna Vishad Yoga, isn't it? Like, what? If all those arguments were given, Krishna said, okay, hang on, actually, you're right. Let's, you know, just stop this war, go to forest, then the dharma will not take place. But Kashyapa is described in this chapter as, you know, Kripana. And this was the same situation of Arjuna, but he took shelter of his, you know, his Supreme Lord and his teacher at the time, Karpane Dosho Pratha Sabhava. So, in response, you know, well, this is the chapter, this is Bhagavatam, so I'm just trying to say what it was. So, Kashyapa was weak minded, that's what is explained here, and he's not able to use strong words to dissuade his wife. And he's now kind of half-hearted here and there. It's the time is Sandhya. Sandhya is the important time. It's very important. He just offered his oblations and he was in meditation. That this is not time to unite for, you know, procreation. We talk about a little bit of samskara, the 16 samskaras, and the particular rules and regulations to be followed. And but the approach was incorrect at the incorrect time. But he don't know what to do, so he's trying to buy some more time. So he starts to give back some more arguments. Okay, so he starts to say, okay, the best way, if he's now taking this approach of, okay, I will try to, you know, buy some more time, glorify what she's doing. So he starts to again put some more arguments. Who else but the wives are enabler of perfection of 3 purusharatha, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So within the other ashram, there's only possibility of dharma and moksha. There's no artha, kama. So no, all the 4 purusharthas cannot take place, so and without the help of wife, all these purusharthas cannot be completed. And grihastha is also responsible for maintaining the other ashramas, and unless, you know, the husband is given enough confidence, encouragement, how would the husband go out and make Lakshmi and Abul support? So you are very much, you know, supporting me for that, and then without fulfilling my dharma as a grihastha, you know, then I will fall down, because if I don't do my duty properly, then, you know, it's difficult to cross the emotional material life. And he also compares her to a sea vessel. The ocean is like, this material world is an ocean. There's so many waves, tides, high tides. But it's compared to a sea vessel. And then others, he also says, so other half and this, that. A man is, you know, cannot move without anxiety. The other thing is, men have to travel around different places to make Lakshmi, but the panchayagnas, you know, used to be done in the past, and some may be doing even today. The 5 types of yagas that everyone, every householder should be performing is Deva, Pitri, Rishi, Nara, and Pashur Bhutas. So they have, every day we offer worship to the Devatas, to the Lords. Some would offer demigods, well, we offer to our, you know, Supreme Lord Krishna. But the panchayagnas people used to perform, all the brahmanas, all the householders, actually all the householders used to do, apart from the shudras, they would do these things. Every day offering oblations to your pitri, like the pitris, the previous forefathers. So this is a kind of offering. Oblation means expressing our gratitude to what we have received. So this is a mood. Vedic literature, Vedic culture is a mood of gratitude. So offering gratitude to everyone, offering gratitude to the rishis, sages who have written scriptures by reading scriptures. This is how Prabhupada explains. How do we do that? So all these things were important, were done by. And when husband is not at home, wife is meant to do all these things, do all these oblations, everything. So it supports so much. That's a lot about husband and wife. So samskaras, this, now what's happening is this is a, again there is five, if you remember Bhagavad Gita, five different factors of any accomplishment, any action. Five factors, adhishthanam cha, karta, karanam, and there is also the cheshta, and there is deva. So which means that there is the place, the field of activity, the body itself is required, then the karta, the doer himself is actually doing. And karanam cha pratikvidam, the various senses are responsible. And there has to be certain endeavor to achieve anything. The endeavors are important, various types of endeavors required. And then it's deva. So we know what's happening there. We're going to read further ahead later on, where eventually who the Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu are, who are going to be taking birth because of this union, Jay Vijay. And there's Lord's desire somehow, and this long story will probably come later. But eventually the Lord's desire that facilitates anything to happen. Without the sanction of the Lord, nothing happens. So all these things taking place, like great Rishi Kashyapa and his great wife Diti at the time when it was, very particular about what process should be followed, not followed. And this is happening at this unusual or inauspicious hour they are trying to unite. So this is the Lord's, the desire to happen that way. Normally there will be, even today, now we are learning about the samskaras. We had no clue previously. Only thanks to Srila Prabhupada that we read the scriptures, we realize there is something. In the village, it still used to happen the 16 samskaras, right from Garbhadhan samskara. Then after that, there will be Pumsavana samskara, Simantanayana samskara, then Jatakarma samskara, then likewise, there is Vivaha samskara. Vivaha is a samskara. Samskara means purificatory processes. There are 16 different people. Upanayanam is one of them. Vedarambha, learning from the teacher, spiritual master. All the samskaras, last samskaras, Anteshti. These are purificatory processes everyone has to go through, apart from the other sannyas ashram. They are obviously not meant to do these things because they already, Maharaj can say, whatever, perform their own shraddha, I think, at the time of the ceremony. So they don't have the material body. But the others are meant to do these things and follow these very strictly. Otherwise, you become part of a sin, and which is not great. So this Kashyapa was not dhira enough. So vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udarupastha vegam, etan vegan yo dhira. Sarvam prithivam api sasishya. So dhira. The dhira means there's some bit of patience. So he was trying to get some patience in the whole situation. But the senses are very strong. So it's difficult. So how do we actually, I was thinking, how do we probably discuss this as part of the big group is this jiva vegam udar upastha vegam. So this The jiva is, so for the first three are vacha vegam, so the speech has to be controlled, regulated, speak what is required, Krishna gata best. But when it comes to the taking in, jiva is the most important, tare madhe jiva ati. Yeah? Ati is the most, of all this, of the senses, jiva is the most difficult to control. Tare madhe, Jadindriya Taheka Tare Madhe Jivati Ati Maharasya Ati Ati Mahat Ati Mahat Tamaha. Beautiful. So there is Uttama, there is Uttamatara, and there is Uttamatamaha. So the what is the best? Best is to Uttama. Best is to take Krishna Prasad only. And there is so much about this. The consciousness is affected because for devotees, you know, well, they say that the sense gratification devotees allowed is Krishna Prasad. So, but then Prasad is difficult. The people going out and preaching is even more difficult. Doing house programs, you know, you go there. You don't know how, with what consciousness the prasad is prepared, but that's austerity. Prabhupada said that's austerity. We go out, do programs, particularly, you know, devotees living in a temple and getting, you know, only the Krishna prasad. It's austerity to do that. And consciousness of food is so important for everyone that we can experience people like us who go out and, you know, do the other things, go to work. We have to be so conscious that, you know, what we take in, it affects our consciousness so much. We're thinking about the story that, I mean, it's so subtle and we can experience it if we pay a little bit of more, you know, attention to what's happening, to the thought process, to the consciousness as to what we have done or what we've eaten in previously. It does affect a lot. And there's this pastime of Chota Haridas within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. So this is like, first time when I read that, I thought, oh, this is the fine subtlety of, you know, what devotees like Mahaprabhu can pick up. The others, we have just a lesson for us to understand what that really happened there. So Chota Haridas, he was a brahmachari. He was asked to beg a specific type of rice, and that was only available at, you know, one place. So he goes out to beg. And there is some subtlety, very subtle, you know, gestures exchange there. So he brings the rice, white rice, and it's cooked by, you know, Bhagwan Acharya. And Mahaprabhu eats it and says, where did you get this rice from? Who got this rice? And he says, that was Chota Haridas. And Mahaprabhu says, okay, I don't want to see him again. Now just imagine that. He only went to beg the rice. When that exchange of begging rice, there is a slight contamination of consciousness. Very slight. So it's really, literally very slight. I mean, that gets, you know, into the consciousness, the cooking and like the raw, what to speak of, the, you know, when the cooked prasad, someone's cooking is so important that it's cooked by the devotees, cooked by the, in the right consciousness for devotees to take in. Well, it's difficult. You have to eat out. You know, again, there is good, like, okay, we are vegetarian, no meat eating. That's the vow I've taken. So I've not, okay, I've eaten, not going to pure vegetarian restaurants. Okay, fine, was not great. There was the higher than that, you know, at least he's only eating Krishna Prasad, and the highest than is only cooked by the right consciousness. So that's the highest. So this food aspect is really very, very important for us devotees. So I was going to just read this purport a little bit again. So much glorification of woman by her husband indicates that he is henpecked. So henpecked is a word like it can be. It's also used for Krishna, by the way. In two places I could find that Krishna, when he went to get the Parijat flower, you know, and it is said that, you know, although he acted as if he was henpecked, obviously Krishna is not henpecked, he acted as if, because he offered one flower to Rukmini and then Satyabhama wanted a flower. And he said, okay, if you want a flower, let's go to the heavenly, you know, abode of Indra and get the flower from there. And they go, there's a white flower, get the whole tree there. So get the whole Parijat tree down here. Then Indra is actually, then Prabhupada, Indra is actually henpecked. He's then, you know, he's been shouted by his wife, like, look what's happening. And Indra's already forgotten the lesson, you know, previously what he heard. What happened, what went through the pastime of the Govardhan Giriraj Parikrama. Yeah, so Giriraj lifting the Govardhan. So he was henpecked, but Krishna was also, you know, described like that. And Lord Ram was, you know, mentioned as henpecked because he was looking for his wife. So this is, but that's, you know, the Lord's obviously is not henpecked. But here, Kashyapa is seemed to be henpecked. Literally, I was trying to understand what does it mean, like hen, a pecking constantly, the nagging. It's like a nagging wife is called what's in, because there's so much nagging, the husband gives in, okay, whatever you say, I'll just do that. That's what impact. So Kashyapa Muni, the householder living with wives, enjoy the heavenly blessing. The man in the downtown of life has no wife, so that's already this. So that this is the fall. You know, this is what happens. We've seen that. The fall of Grahastha is a silent fall. Within the four walls, nobody can see that. But if the Grahasthas follow the processes, eat eat the prasadam cooked with the right consciousness, there's protection for the husbands. So, yeah, I don't know what else, maybe say 20, maybe we can get some more thoughts and Maharaj. I mean, this is what aspects, I don't know what to cover in this, I think. If anything you'd like to add or...
Hare Krishna. Haribo. No, thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. I just wanted to ask a question, maybe something you said before. You were talking about farming and the complexity of life and things like that. And then you were discussing about your family background. I'm just wondering if you could share something about most of us, we grow up in an urban culture. We have no, I speak for myself at least, like no real contact with that kind of life of, you know, agriculture, farming. And yet we know that that's such an encouraged thing and that's so important for the future. How much do you think it's possible for those who have grown up in like urban culture to really be able to change and like embrace that kind of simplicity? Do you think, like from your experience, also you're on the farm, so how much do you think that we can actually, especially those who grew up in urban culture, how much we can actually embrace that and simplicity, yeah, and all of that?
Yeah, thank you. So actually, the question is how much can someone grown in city, you know, embrace this simple living, farming, which is encouraged. Srila Prabhupada wanted all our temples to be self-sustained, grow your own food, and cook what you have grown, offer what you have cooked. That was Prabhupada's mission. How much Prabhupada wanted this to happen, like all the big places, the new the moment ISKCON was a little bit established, first project was New Vrindavan. So how much he wanted New Vrindavan to establish. So how does it work for people who are not exposed to this? I can share my experience, Maharaj, and then because we do some programs at the farm here in Bhaktivedanta Manor. We have New Gokul Farm. We conduct programs. We do for back to farm for kids. We do for organic farm for adults. And we get, young, all sort of age, all people coming up. What is most interesting thing I found was that farming is so natural to us, because we get just, so natural and so simple. It's not very complicated. It's so simple. Anyone can do it. But because it is natural to human, when we do these things, we immediately get connected to Mother Earth. We feel that connection. We feel that nourishment, because it's not different to us. Like, it's so natural. Farming is so natural. And feeling reciprocation with a little bit of gratitude to Mother Earth, like, okay, what I'm receiving here, that's received from Mother Earth, like treating Mother Earth as a person. So we try to, give this knowledge that, you are exchanging this with a personality, Mother Earth. When we do that in that mood, learning obviously is very easy. There's nothing much. Get some seed, because seeds are given by Krishna. The soil is there. The fertility is, cows give us the fertility. We just, last 25 years here, we never used any chemical, just cow dung. We come, make the manure out of it 1 year and they put it in there. It's all working. The connection that we find with farming, everyone, for people who come from village, actually it's the opposite. What I've seen is the opposite. People who come from village, who have previous background, they come and they say, oh, we have done it, my father done it, my grandfather done it, we have enough of these things. What really happens when the city people come, they say, wow, this is something that we never experienced. and we feel so much, you know, joy. And if there is amount of gratitude, people pick it up. And there is hope, because there is so much we can produce. I think the hope is like, okay, with 8 acres land here, you know, we do 4 acres we were doing, now we're doing 8 acres. We are able to feed the cows all through the year with, you know, all the cow feed in the bowl. Like, we grow spinach, kale. This year, now we already crossed like 4,000 crates, like really 40 tons of produce we have already done in the farm. There's so much Mother Earth. Actually, my first, you know, sort of enlightenment, Eureka moment was, we had a garden in the previous house. There was one apple tree that could produce like thousands of apples. I said, this can, one tree can do so much. I mean, there is so much. There is so much. We can't actually, some years we're not able to collect. There's so much. We can't, we're not able to consume. So there is so much encouragement. When we do this, we feel very encouraged. It is possible. And if we can get that, like, you know, if devotees, just imagine devotees don't, because I also work in corporate IT world, I know what it means to work there. If you can avoid that, I would probably, this is what I think, like, if we can avoid for devotees to be able to, not having to go corporate London, it's hard. It's that Ugra Karma involved there and all these things. So then it will be absolutely wonderful. And Srila Prabhupada wanted it. I don't know if that. But surely people get connected. I never had one person at the farm who said, I'm not quite like this. People say, oh, this is amazing. They come back. They want to explain. Then it's so simple to grow. We give people some tips to how you can grow at home, in the back garden, in the balcony, in the windowsill. They can grow everywhere. But the joy of that taste of that is so amazing. Thank you so much. So it is. Any other? Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you so much, devotees. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.